My name is Hosanna. I am so excited to be with all of you. I want to welcome all of our churches across our Eastlake network. Special shout out to my friends at Venice Church and everyone watching online. I love you guys. I am so excited to be a part of this series, When All the Hell Breaks Loose. I have followed this series carefully. I loved a couple weeks ago we talked about when all the hell breaks loose and we battle with grief and loss. And last week we talked about when all the hell breaks loose in our finances. And today I want to talk about when all the hell breaks loose inside of us. Maybe it's not public or obvious or sometimes tangible, but I want to talk about when all the hell breaks loose inside of us and we battle with fear, when we battle with worry, when we battle with anxiety. When I was preparing for this talk, I actually looked up a few fears that some of us in here might have. Tell me if any of you have it. One of them is turophobia. Have you heard of turophobia? It's the fear of cheese. In the house of God, we rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. We believe God wants good things for all of us. No fear of cheese. Here's another one, somnophobia. Fear of sleep. Oh, just sad, right? That people would fear sleep. It's so great. Here's a picture of someone who has overcome this horrible fear. He's not afraid of sleep. And finally, one of my favorites that I never knew was a fear, pogonophobia. Fear of beards. I do not have this fear. This is a picture of my husband, Guy. We have been married 4 years this week. I don't have pogonophobia. In fact, I am pro-cheese, pro-sleep, and pro-beards all around. And so I don't have any of these fears. But some of us have funny fears like this, right? We have these anxieties or worries that maybe some of our friends make fun of us about. But for many of us, when we talk about fear, some of us have some fears that are so real and so deep and so personal that there's nothing really funny about them. Today I'm gonna talk about those fears because I've always wanted to be bold. I've always dreamed about being fearless. I used to say that if I could have any superhero power in the world, it would be to be bold, just to make every life decision in business or in relationships with boldness, with certainty, to know what I wanted and say it clearly. And I think as a kid, I was pretty bold. I think as kids, many of us are. We kind of grow up with this false sense of security. We think we're invincible. We think we can do anything. That was for sure true of me growing up. I grew up on the streets of San Francisco when my parents planted a church to the homeless, drug addicts, prostitutes, and pimps before I was born. And so I grew up on the streets there doing church for the people out there. Those are my family. It's actually where I learned to teach. All my homeless, drug addict friends taught me hip hop and consequently the art of storytelling. And I got to practice with them. They also taught me the art of poker. But I only pursued one of those career ambitions. And so I love being raised on the streets there. But because I was raised there, as a kid at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I would just walk around these downtown streets by myself because I thought I was always safe. I thought these are all my friends. And so I would walk around the streets handing out Bibles and lunches, and mostly because, one, when you're a minister's kid, family labor laws do not apply. And two, because I always thought I was safe. I did not know how much there was to fear on those streets. Isn't that how it is, though, when we're all kids? We don't know how much there is to fear. But as we get older, we're not risking as much, and we're not daring as much. We're not as brave. We're not as enjoying as much living without the weight of the world on our shoulders. Because as we get older, we learn how much there really is to fear. So today I want to talk about the biblical response to fear. How are we supposed to respond to fear or think about fear? And if you've never been to church, if you're new to this church thing or new to this God thing, this is a great series for you to join us in, because this is showing us how, if we do want to sign up for a life living for God, how we are to approach fear practically and continuously. How do we approach fear? This is where I'm going to go right now, Psalm 118:6. There's a guy named David who, back in the day, he was a king. He had a great relationship with God. He messed up a lot, but he also loved God a lot. And he speaks about fear in a really bold way I want to tell all of you about in Psalm 118:6. The eternal is with me, so I will not be afraid of anything. If God is on my side, how can anyone hurt me? I love how bold this verse is. David has the superpower I've always wanted, but I got to know how he got there. How was he able to be that bold? How was he able to be that certain? How was David able to say, I will not be afraid of anything so clearly? I want that kind of boldness in my life. So let's talk about fear practically. Let's break it down. Fear is a part of life. That's your first blank, actually, if you're taking notes. Fear is a part of life. It's important to note that feeling fear is not a sin. It is natural to feel fear. We don't run red lights in fear of getting in an accident. We don't put our hand in fire in fear of getting burned. Fear is a part of life. The problem is when fear controls our lives. The problem isn't when you feel fear. The problem is when you allow it to control you, your decisions, the person you want to be, the dreams you have, the prayers you're praying. Joyce Meyer is an amazing author and speaker, and she describes it well. She says that the action of fear means to take flight or run away. And over in the Bible, God says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. But when God is telling us that, he is not saying, don't you dare feel fear. What he is saying is, don't you take flight. Don't you run away. Don't you allow this fear to be the foundation of how you are making all of your decisions. Don't let fear be the main thing that's filling you up. Don't let fear have control over your life, because ultimately this anxiety-inducing, worry-driven, life-controlling kind of fear is the kind of fear the enemy hopes that we all have. And again, if you're new to this church thing, I want you to know that we believe that the enemy is a real being. It's the devil. And his main goal in life is to be a roadblock between you and everything that is good. A roadblock between you and everything good God has for you. And here is God, who just wants every good thing for us. In fact, he sent his son, Jesus, to give us the ultimate access to all things good, all things God for forever. So here we have a God who is for us, and here we have an enemy that's against us. And we learn that one of the enemy's favorite things to roadblock us from God is fear. He hopes that we have so much fear in our lives that we can't possibly be the person God wants us to be. I know this has been true in my own life. When I was 17 years old, my dad, my best friend, he got cancer. When I was 18 years old in the air flying to visit him, he just suddenly passed away. And from that point on, I started living with a lot of fear. The next few years, I didn't just feel fear, I took flight and I ran away. I was so afraid that if I opened up my heart to people, I would lose them eventually. I was so afraid if I prayed these big prayers, I'd get let down a lot. I was so afraid that if I let the church back in or people back in or love back in, I was just signing up for a life of constantly being let down. Took flight, ran away, instead found my safety and my identity in alcohol. Instead found my safety and my identity in my body, in men. Instead found my safety and identity just being a person that's hard as a rock and no one can be close to me. Living a life that was so much less than what God had for me, because I allowed fear to control my decisions. I allowed fear to control my time. Maybe you've gone through something similar to that. And if you're anything like me, in order to fight fear, we need some new practices. We need some new habits. For me, sometimes I can't just hear something inspirational. I need it broken down. I need the steps, I need the practices, I need the habits. What does the Bible say practically about how I can fight that kind of fear when all the hell breaks loose in my life? Philippians 4 gives us great steps. I'm gonna read them to you right here, because what it gives us is an opportunity to access peace instead of fear. What it gives us is practical habits for our day-to-day lives, for our Tuesdays, for our night times, for the practical moments where we're just going to work and living our lives. How can we access peace instead? Philippians 4 tells us, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. And then continued in verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about things. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. He longs to hear your requests. So talk to God about your needs and be thankful for what has come. And know that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond any and all of our human understanding, will stand watch over our hearts and minds in Jesus, the Anointed One. I am so desperate for this kind of peace in my life, a peace that surpasses any and all of our human understanding. So I'll take any tool I can have. These 4 steps have radically changed my life. They've helped me when I've been battling fear in my life. It actually gives us four steps. One, celebrate God all day, every day. I love that step. It means that when we wake up in the morning, let's have God be the forefront of our minds, what we're thinking about. It means in the afternoon, let's have God be at the forefront of our minds and what we're thinking about. And at nighttime, different, but not at all, let's have God be at the forefront of our minds and all we're thinking about. Because if we just choose to celebrate God all day, every day, we start spending less time looking down at the worry, at the anxiety, and the fears in our lives. And instead, we're just choosing to look up. The next point is be gentle and kind and on other people's sides. I just gotta be honest, at this point is my least favorite point. I love holding grudges. I'm really good at it, but I gotta tell you, all the years where I was really good at holding grudges were years of my life spent wasted. It just turns out that freedom is better. It just turns out that this principle is a way better principle to be living by. I love how this verse that we read says that we're working with people and not against them. I love that idea because it has greatly helped me and freed me up from when I've been about to walk into a painful situation or confront some difficult people or go into a room or a meeting or just an event where I'm nervous about having some conversations. This principle has helped me a lot. Even if you're not sure about church yet or sure about God yet, practice this week and see if it gives you some freedom. Because what I've done is before I've walked into those situations, I've just decided I'm just going to be for them. I'm choosing right now that I'm going to be working with them. If they're going to come just fighting for themselves, great news, we're on the same team. I'm fighting for them too. I hope we all win. It has set me so free. Being gentle and kind and just on other people's sides. The third one, pray instead of worrying. Now, I like this point because it doesn't just tell me, don't you worry. Instead, it gives me something practical to replace my time with. When you are consumed with worry, when you're just scrolling on your Instagram, consumed with competing with all those people, when you're just at work and you can't even be productive because you're consumed with worry about what you're going home to, be self-aware in those moments to realize I am worrying a lot. In this moment instead, when all the hell is breaking loose in my life, I'm gonna choose for heaven to invade this hell. And in this moment, I'm gonna choose to pray instead of worry. Pray for this little thing, for this big thing, for this me thing, for this them thing, for all the things. Praying repeatedly and praying nonstop because practically it is a better use of our time. And the final step is be thankful. Be thankful. I don't know what it is about thankfulness, but somehow, when we are less focused on what we don't have, we become more aware of all the things that we do have. When we become aware and remember of all God has already done and who God has already been and the things you've already seen him do in your life, we become less fearful of all the things to come. Being thankful for what we have, God, this moment, this inner action, this interaction with God about being thankful for what you already have, it sets us free from fear and worry and anxiety of what we might not have someday. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you continue to practice these steps, if you continue to let these practices become habits, eventually they become weapons. They become weapons. So when the battle with fear comes into your life, you're ready. Because you've been practicing with these weapons. You've been training in these weapons. And fear cannot have control over our lives. And worry and anxiety can't have control over our decisions when we are choosing to celebrate God all day, every day. Just choosing to be on other people's sides. Praying instead of all that time we spent worrying and being thankful for what God has already done and the things that we already have. Some of us just need some new practices, some new weapons in our belt. But for some of us, we need more than just some new practices. We need a brand new perspective. We need a new perspective of God, maybe. Because we can have all these practices, but if we don't have the correct perspective of God, we don't know how little there is to fear in the first place. I want to go back to David, what he said in Psalm 118, because we know he so boldly said in verse 6, I will not be afraid. But I want to read verses 1 through 5. I want to read the verses before that show me, how did he get to that conclusion? What is the perspective he had of God? What did he know that I didn't know? Verses 1-5 say this: thank God because he's good, because his love never quits. Tell the world, Israel, his love never quits. And you, clan of Aaron, tell the world, his love never quits. And you who fear God, join in. His love never quits. Pushed to the wall, I called to God. From the wide open spaces, he answered. And then we see David's conclusion at the end of all of that. The eternal is with me, so I will not be afraid of anything. If God is on my side, how can anyone hurt me? The correct perspective of God is that his love never quits. Even when you want to quit on yourself, he won't quit on you. Even when you want to give up, he won't give up on you. The true perspective of who God is and what's available to us through him is that his love never quits. The truth about God is that when all hell breaks loose, pushed to the wall, we can call to him, and his love, it just never quits. 1 John 4:17 and 18 says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and he lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, a fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. There is no room in love for any of our fears. If we are living in fear, we are not living in God's perfect love. If you feel controlled by your fears, my question, friends, are, do you know how loved you are? Do you know how safe you are? Are you making your decisions based on love, or are you making your decisions based on fear? Because those fill in the blanks that we just did, if we are living in fear, we are not living in God's perfect love. Those fill in the blanks will fill up your life if you knew that was true and lived like it was. Years after my dad passed away, I had people in my life that really challenged me to try to open up my heart a little bit more, not be as hard as a rock anymore, to let friends in, to let mentors and pastors in, and maybe to date again, just to open up myself to be a little bit more brave. And when my now husband, Guy, first asked me to be his girlfriend, I was so consumed with fear. I drove like an hour to see these pastors and mentors in my life, afraid of what happens if this all falls apart. What if I lose him? What if terrible things happen? And they said to me, Hosanna, if he hurts you, we'll hate him with you. That's real love. That's the hood love I was raised with. If you have those people, don't lose those people. The great poet once said, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Do not lose the people that will hate pain with you. But because I knew I was so safe with them, it was easier to be fearless. That's the same in all of our lives. When we know how protected we are, it's easier to be fearless. When we know how safe we are, we know that we can be so bold again. Do we know how safe we are? Do we know how protected we are? Do we know that there is a God that is against everything that would hurt you? Do we know that there is a God that will hate all that pain with you? Do we know that there's a God that hates everything that separates you from his love? Do we know how safe we are? Because just like when we were kids and we were bold and fearless, thought we were invincible and we were real brave, God actually says in the Bible, he hopes, ideally, that all of us would approach him like children. In fact, Galatians 4:7 says, you no longer have to live as a slave because you are a child of God. Matthew 18:3 says, this is the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So it kind of makes sense that the enemy has been after our childhoods. The enemy is after anything that would let us approach God in such a way that would let us access our full potential, our full purpose, and help us access the full presence of God. Because if we knew that we could trust God like children, if we knew that we could have faith in God like children, if we dreamed those big dreams and prayed those big prayers and enjoyed God like children, then the enemy would have something to be afraid about. He knows how safe we are. So he actually doesn't even need us to fail. He just needs us to fear. The enemy does not need for us to be destroyed. He just needs us to be distracted. Distracted with all of our worry, with all of our anxiety, with all of our fears. He doesn't even need for us to be completely ruined. He just needs us to run. The enemy knows how safe we are. It's time that we do too. But it's not like when we were kids with that false sense of security. This is a true sense of security. This is a real sense of security. This is an accurate depiction of God. His love never quits. When we're found in his love, there is no room for fear. He is a God that wants us to approach him like children and for us to know how safe and protected we are with him. Some of us need new perspectives. Some of us need new practices. I don't know where you are with all the hell breaking loose in your life. I do know that I can't give a talk on fear. We can't have a conversation about fear here in church without talking about the reality of when our fears come to pass. What do we do when sometimes those people don't get better from their sickness? And sometimes our dreams don't turn out the way we want? What is the right perspective of God then? How should we be thinking about God then when our fears come to pass? I recently lived through a season like that. I want to share this story with you, but first I've got to preface a few things. This story is about money. I am Chinese. My grandma, my nanin, taught me a lot growing up about saving money. I've always been good at saving money. I've loved doing it. Growing up, I loved tithing. I thought that was a great way, an easy way for me to be generous, to have a good heart, to show God that he's my number one, to not let money control my life. I tithe a lot. I love it. It's easy. That's what I do. Also, taxes. Really good at those. Studied really well how to be good at my taxes to always make sure that when Uncle Sam writes me back at the end of April, it says, perfect job, Hosanna. Not necessarily that, but a paraphrase. I love being good at my money. I grew up on the streets. I always knew that I wanted to save up money, pay off my family's debt, pay off my school debt, that I was going to provide for people eventually. Saving money was always a big part of my childhood. So much so that even when I started dating and you know, as soon as a guy would ask me to be his girlfriend, my next question was, well, how much debt do you have? It's a reasonable question. I see you guys judging over there. It's a reasonable question. So much so that I thought, man, I've worked so hard to get my family and myself out of debt. I don't want to marry into debt. So I started a little savings account. So whenever someone proposed to me, I'd be able to pay off all their debt before I married them. Yeah, there's a plan and a system. I'm not crazy. There was a plan. It turns out that the man I married when we got engaged, he didn't have any debt. So when I told him about this little savings account I had, he said, what are we gonna do with the extra money? Extra? We're going to save it. Ladies, I don't care what the media tells you, what your Instagram tells you, there is nothing sexier than a big, voluptuous savings account. Nothing sexier. Now, the Bible doesn't technically say that, but I feel like God would back me up on that. So for me, I just want you to know in context that it meant a lot to me to start my own business 7 years ago. I've been teaching for 7 years, and I wrote a couple books. I have a great team I get to work with. And it meant a lot to me when during one of the most difficult seasons for my family, a time of extreme loss, a time of extreme pain relationally, personally, that in the middle of that season, I decided to invest 100% of my business's money in one project. And then decided to invest 100% of my family's money into one project. All of this savings, everything I had worked for, into one thing. And as time went on, week after week and month after month went by, and it became clear that this project would fail, I became so consumed with fear. What if I can't pay my people? That was a great fear in my life. What if I can't keep promises I made to my family? A great fear in my life. What if my business doesn't turn out the way I dreamed? What if I'm gonna have to have new dreams? A big fear in my life. What if I can't support the people I said I would support? A big fear in my life. And over time, all those fears came to pass. And I share that story with you to let you know that I'm not speaking on fear from a naive standpoint. I'm talking to you about fear as someone who has lived through some of my greatest fears. And I live to talk about it. The truth is that failure has made me bold. The truth is that loss has made me more fearless. The truth is that I know more about fear now that I've lived to see the other side of it. And I want you to know some verses that I held on to during that horrible season in my family's life. Some verses I had to hold on to try to figure out what's the perspective of God I should have now. I had the practices to fight fear. I had the new perspective to fight fear. But what's my perspective when my fears come to pass? Here are two verses that were personally so meaningful to me in that season. Right here we have Psalm 18:19. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. I want you to know that even though God doesn't want bad things to happen to us, if our fears do come to pass, he is there to rescue us. He's on the other side because, plot twist, he likes us. He rescues us because he delights in us. And since he'll never stop liking us, he's never going to stop rescuing us. This is who God is on the other side of our fears. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says this: he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Here we see a perspective of a God who doesn't just deliver us from that one loss, who doesn't just deliver us from that one failure, but he's a God who is just not as sick of us as we are of us, and isn't as tired of us as some of the people in our lives are of us. And he's a God that will rescue us and deliver us again and again and again, so you can risk again and you can hope again and you can dream again, because he's just gonna rescue us again and again and again. On him we can put all of our hope that he's just gonna keep on delivering us. When our fears come to pass, this is the truth about God. I wish I could tell you that none of my fears have come to pass. But the truth is, now that I stand on the other side of some of my greatest fears, the enemy better be afraid. Because now I know how safe I am, and now I'm pissed. I'm pissed that the last time I had all this loss, I let fear control so much of who I was. I let fear control how I loved and how I dreamed. I let fear be the basis of how I made all of my decisions. So now, as I'm dealing with this loss, I'm making a decision to have a different perspective. This time, I will not run. This time, I will not be afraid. This time, though I feel fear, I'm not letting fear be a roadblock between me and the woman that I can be. This time, I've chosen to dream bigger dreams than I've ever imagined, and I've been praying bigger prayers than I ever thought I would. We've invested in more projects and ideas than I ever imagined. We let more people into our lives. We have more people on our team because now I know the truth about God, that even if all this doesn't go my way, even if the plans I have are not what work out, I know that he's just going to rescue me again. I've never been so bold. I've never been more fearless. I want to tell you what my anthem was at the end of that season. A scripture verse that kind of became the anthem for me and my husband in our lives. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah, he's a prophet. So sometimes God is talking to him. And so he's writing down God's words. And then sometimes Isaiah is speaking on behalf of himself. In Isaiah 50 verse 2, this is God speaking. Do you think my reach insufficient, my power too limited to rescue you? What do we think about God? What's our perspective of God? Do we think that maybe his reach is insufficient? Do we think that maybe his power is too limited to rescue us? Perhaps the limitations we're putting on ourselves are really a reflection of the limits we have on God. Maybe we're not risking as much as we could be because we don't think that he can rescue us afterwards. Maybe we're not praying the big prayers or dreaming the big dreams because we don't know how safe we are with him. Isaiah responds with these beautiful, powerful, strong words that are my anthem, and I want to share them with you. Verses 7 and 8. Because the Lord, the Eternal, helps me, I will not be disgraced. So I set my face like a rock, confident that I will not be ashamed. My hero who sets things right is near. Who would dare to challenge me? Let's stand and debate this head to head. Who would dare to accuse me? Let him come near. This is the face I hope the enemy sees when he tries to come at me again with all that fear. This is the face I hope he knows I have when he tries to bring worry and anxiety back into my life. I hope my face is set like a rock, confident that I will not be ashamed. And then Isaiah asks these questions in verse 10 that I want to ask to each of you today. So you who are listening, do you acknowledge the Eternal One as God? And do you take seriously what the servant of God has to say? If you are enveloped in darkness with no light to see, take confidence in the name of the Eternal One. Rely on your God. Do we acknowledge that the Eternal One is God? What's your perspective of God? Do you think that maybe he is who he said he is? Maybe he'll do what he said he would do. When you are enveloped in darkness, when all the hell breaks loose, we can fully rely on God. We need some new practices. We need a new perspective. And for many of us in here, there are some roadblocks that have been standing in the way of us and who we know we can be, us and who God wants us to be, us and the person we hope we could be, and some of us just need a breakthrough. We just need to break through some of these walls. We just need to make the decision to be that person that's gonna have their face set like a rock. We just need to choose that fear is not gonna control us anymore, and fear is not gonna have victory over our lives anymore. I wanna pray over each and every one of us today. Because I believe that if we founded our lives on this love, if we consumed ourselves with this love, listened about this love, paid attention to this love, focused on this love, filled our lives with this love, if we knew how loved we were, there would be no room in our lives for that fear. If we base our lives on this love, when all the hell breaks loose, we will not run and we will not be afraid. I don't know if maybe there's a hell breaking loose in your life that's so deeply personal that maybe you need to cross out that we and just write I. Maybe that needs to be a personal declaration for you inside of yourself this week. I will not run. I will not be afraid. And maybe there's something happening in your family or your business or your community where you want to circle that we. We will not run. We will not be afraid as a declaration for your team, for your people. Whatever the hell is that's breaking loose for you, whatever the roadblock the enemy has used to block you from all God has for you, I'm praying today for you for a breakthrough because I'm pissed and sick of the enemy taking advantage of us and using us for his plan instead of the plan God has for us. We're gonna sing this next song and it talks about how God wants a breakthrough in our lives. And I love the words because it talks about how yes, God wants us to have new practices and he wants us to have a new perspective. And it's ultimately because he wants to use all of it, all you got, and make you something new. So I'm going to pray for each and every one of us. God, thank you for how safe we are in you. Thank you that we can risk again and hope again and trust again because we're starting to figure out the truth about you. I pray this week as we go about our lives that you would remind us of these new practices when all the hell breaks loose. I pray that you would help remind us of this new perspective of you when all that hell breaks loose. And God, we pray that our great fears don't come to pass. But God, if they do, we pray that you would remind us that we are safe in you, that we can come to you, and we can still choose to base our lives on love instead of fear. We hope that when the enemy sees us, he sees faces like rocks. God, I pray for breakthrough, breakthrough in families, breakthrough in dreams that were once forgotten, breakthrough in hearts. Would you come and make us something new? Amen.
There must be more beyond familiar shores, into waters unexplored. This one desire is stirring here in me. Deep is calling out to deep. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving up control. I need a breakthrough. All of my dreams and fears are crashing into you. You're waking up my hope. You are my breakthrough. My defenses opens the impossible. It's so amazing. You can take the ashes and turn them into beautiful. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving up control. I need a breakthrough.
Breakthrough.